The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 240. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
Ooh.
And he's flexing his arm. Yeah, God, nice. It looks good. You're back on the workout train, huh?
Nope.
Eating the starches, eating the carbs.
Nope.
You're just in there.
Playing starches and carbs.
How many potatoes you eat a night?
Those probably wouldn't be the things I'd want to eat.
How many milkshakes did you have? How many diet milkshakes did you have? Diet milkshakes.
Oh, the hell does that mean?
That's the sultry tones of he only does everything. Call Moriarty.
Yeah. How are you?
What do you mean?
You're not feeling it today, bud?
I'm just so tired.
I'm in a good place. Today.
I was talking. I'm not sure I'm ever in a good place, but I was talking about. I was talking to someone in the thread for last week's Beyond on IGN, and someone was like, something about our energy level and that I'm always tired and stuff. And I'm like, to be honest, I really have no energy at all because.
But I'm usually energetic.
But I'm usually not.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I have energy.
Time to get you energized.
Please don't.
Oh, man. This is a good seat switch we did, too.
Jesus Christ.
Good seat switch. It's the
lack of carbs, man. It's a distinct lack of carbs in my diet.
All right, I'm going to start this over.
Here we go.
I lost my ability to speak.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do it.
What I was going to say is that very interesting point, because I think that you should either be taking some sort of vitamin, or I'm sure there's energy supplements you can take in place of the energy.
There's some kind of Gatorade chew I keep seeing on TV. Mm.
Get those electrolytes.
Yeah. Woo. How does Gatorade chew taste? That's what I want to know.
Probably awesome. They used to have Gatorade gum. It was really good for gum. I mean, I wasn't a meal or anything. I wasn't eating it and then going to bed.
It wasn't like Willy Wonka's gum.
You know what we should do, guys? We should just walk out that door, get on the plane to Japan, and just go.
What are we going
to
do when we get there?
Drink profusely. Hmm. And also eat some sushi. Maybe go to just hang out in Shibuya.
All right. Shuhei Yoshida, we're coming.
Yoshida-san. Greg knocks his mic away. It's time to go. If only it wasn't $1 billion to get out there.
That'd be nice.
It's pretty expensive.
Speaking of, we were talking about tiredness in the Beyond thread from last week. We asked you, the listeners, two important questions. Number one, should we move the show to Tuesday? Because we've discovered on Thursdays now, first off, I have up at noon, and so then we have a very small window in the morning of doing it, and if we don't do it, then we don't do it till super late in the day when I'm exhausted, Colin's even more exhausted, and Clements is in a good place. It's happened again this week. It's Thursday afternoon. We're all very tired.
I'm feeling good.
Me and Colin are discussing pizzas we're in order to. And the overwhelming majority of you, not overwhelming, I guess, the 50 to 60% of you, I forget the exact number, voted that, yeah, sure, move it. Some of you were like, no, don't do that. It makes my Friday morning so great. I want to point out, it's not milk. You don't have to listen to the podcast when you get it. You can listen to it any day you want.
Yeah.
So I think we'll start producing them on Tuesdays.
It's not guacamole that you made.
Ooh, is this really going to happen? Are we changing it to Tuesday?
I guess we never really talked about it internally, but we never seemed like we had a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't really care at all.
It's just this is a big step.
We've been a Thursday show for a long time.
Do we know if any other fine IGN one-up or GameSpy podcast record on Tuesday?
That is the research I haven't done. I'm pretty sure. No, NVC's real day is Tuesday, but they are afternoons, and they're usually
Rich is traveling, this is happening, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're all over the place. Okay. So I don't think we'll have a problem, but I will verify before anything officially happens.
Got it.
Remember, you're probably subscribed on iTunes, so it doesn't matter. You'll see a new podcast. You know what? We'll do. You want to do next week can be our farewell Thursday. Colin won't be here.
Yeah, either Tuesday or Thursday won't be here. I'm exactly. going home.
Yeah. And I'm going home to the place where I belong. Join me, Colin, where your loving's always been enough
what is this?
For me.
I don't even know what that song is.
I started taking my shirt off.
I don't know that song.
All the places and these faces are getting old. So I'm going home.
Welcome to IGN's PlayStation podcast.
We're going to talk about PlayStation.
I love hanging out and chatting.
This is why people listen to us.
How is how are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Next week will be the final Thursday. We say goodbye to Thursday next week.
Yeah.
Period.
Okay.
And unless something's changed and we discover, we'll do one Tuesday podcast, then we'll go to E3 and everything will be batshit crazy, and we'll do a Thursday podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, should we just wait till after E3? Because we're going to do the show on Thursday at E3 anyway.
Are we supposed to talk to Shuhei? Or am I supposed to say that?
No, you're fine. Yeah, we're of course trying to chat. Shuhei, if you're listening, we're trying to book you through traditional means this year so I don't get yelled at by Sony PR via text message. So I think we're...
Via text message.
We're talking to him on Tuesday, but we won't post the show. I like being able to talk about the entire show, like a wrap-up. So we'll do it Thursday. So after E3, that's when everything changes. This changes everything.
Everything.
This does change everything.
Greg is looking serious.
Next question.
Yeah.
What?
I was just going to say, I'll miss you guys next week, but...
This comes into play for the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The other thing we asked you last week, who should review Resistance Retribution on the Vita? Overwhelmingly, Colin Moriarty.
Resistance Burning Skies.
What did I say?
Retribution.
All right, the good one.
Mm-hmm.
Who should review Burning Skies? Kidding. I haven't even started Burning Skies yet. Here's a quick side note. I'm all excited to play Burning Skies, right? I'm at E3 Judges Week. I have to leave early because I have to go do Up at Noon on Thursday. So I get in LA. I go to LAX. I go late, first off. I change my flight on my phone, Clements. I have to rebook.
Ooh, how
was
that?
I have to cancel it. It
was
a pain in the ass.
Was the technologies? No?
It was not good because I called and then I got disconnected. It was a long thing.
All right.
But I got to see some Sony games instead. So I stayed late, get this plane. My plane gets delayed. I keep looking at my Vita and I'm like, I'm going to play this as a reward. I got my Last of Us preview up. I wrote another preview. I've seen all these games. I'm like, I'm going to get on that plane. It'll be nice and dark. I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to enjoy an hour of Resistance. So the plane takes off. Darkness. Everybody goes to bed. I hear the ding that I can use my electronic. Take it out. Boot it up. I downloaded it. Boot it up. Hit the button. And it goes, oh, you need firmware. You need the new firmware. And you can't download firmware in the air. So I was very upset.
Wow. That's a classic. That's the classic story.
Classic PlayStation.
Goodness.
Where we started with that. We asked you who should review Resistance Burning Skies on the Vita. Colin, myself, or another IGN editor. Colin won overwhelmingly. So listening to you, I'm going to review it. Sorry about that. It's not that we Colin, you explain what happened.
Okay, so we have Resistance. We got it earlier this week. And I'm almost done with it. But everything's contingent on online multiplayer. And I talked to Sony and I was like, they set up... You know, typically you set up appointments before the game comes out and you test the online components, and they did that. But those appointments are next week. I'm going to New York on Monday morning, and I will not be back until the next Monday. I'm going to be off the grid. I need the time away to cleanse my mind and see my old friends. I'm going to a wedding for my old college roommates. So it'll be fun. But I'm seeing a bunch of my old buddies and stuff, and I just really need to get away, you know? So Sony could not arrange for an online multiplayer session this week, and thus... I will not be able to review the game in time for the embargo, so Greg will just have to do it anyway.
By the two greatest words in the English language, default, I win.
Yeah, you win.
Y'all
in
voted.
A sense.
Y'all voted for me because I'm the favorite.
Is default the two words, or I win is the two
default.
Words?
Default. It's a Simpsons three joke. Words. It was a Simpsons joke. Right. My bad.
But you know, I'm looking forward to my plane trip out east and back because you know we have Resistance. I'll probably have actually finished it by then. And I'll probably have had the platinum by then as well. But
check your firmwares.
Check your firmware.
Don't forget to switch your firmwares.
And we have Gravity Rush too, which is really exciting. And I played it a little bit, but we don't know yet. So
you mean Gravy Rush?
Gravy Rush. Yeah.
Is that what you're calling it?
No, that's what. Isn't that what's printed on the
on
the label?
Yeah. It says Grav Rush or whatever.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure it said Gravy Rush.
Oh, maybe.
All right. Well, either way, it was.
It's a different game. I put it in. It's a mini about serving mashed potatoes.
Gravy Rush.
So that's exciting.
You're managing. Searching a store.
And I think, don't hold me to this because I you know, the PlayStation blog hasn't done their podcast yet, or I haven't listened to it yet, but I think that chess crossplay game comes out next Tuesday too for PS3.
You're gonna grab that?
What, yeah,
you
which I'm super excited about.
Chess crossplay.
Oh.
So yeah, anyway, we're sorry that we couldn't, you know, I wanted to do it, we tried, we resolved that I would be able to do it. I have my own opinions on the game. Greg hasn't started it yet. We can't talk about it anyway.
No.
And
this is the problem with democracy, is that it's just a bunch of bullshit. Mm-hmm. We proved it right here today.
Well, I think Gore won in 2000 with
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The popular,
who won?
But Bush won the electoral vote.
Yeah. So I'm Bush. Anyways, our good friend,
yes, you are.
Ben writes into beyond@ign.com. Ben says, looks like Colin is going to review Resistance Burning Skies. Nope. When can we expect this review to be live? This review is going live on pretty much release day, 5/29. That's the release of it, right?
Yep.
And then he says, who's going to review Gravity Rush, and when does that go live? Newsflash, Ben, I'm reviewing that one too.
We tried. We tried so many. Greg has been gone. But we're in constant contact with each other, both mentally and also over email and text message.
Yeah.
And we
physically.
And physically.
Like,
so
raw physical contact.
We're taking raw dumps of data everywhere.
So what people don't know about Greg and I and Mike Mitchell is that we live together. And people know that, but what they don't know is that we only have one bedroom. So much like Grandma Joe and Grandma Josephine and all those guys, we sleep in the same bed together. So we are connected in that sense as
well. Yes.
But we tried, and I started playing Gravity Rush, and I felt really bad because, like, this is all I'm just leaving, and I have to it's not really it's turned into a vacation, but it was really for a wedding, and this is all this work's being heaped on Greg, but he's kind of anxious to do both of the games. Yeah. So they're
I want
to
play
hands.
Both of them. So I was already jazzed from both. Gravity Rush goes live next week on Thursday the 24th. So we'll be able to talk about that and beyond.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I
me
hope
too.
You like it.
Yeah, me too. I know Caleb played Japanese version, and not being able to read Japanese, he still enjoyed it. So
yeah,
we'll see what it feels like in the old English language.
The old English.
I hope it's not an old English.
Ye old gravity days.
Ye gravity rush.
Old English.
I'm gonna call it Gravity Days the rest of my life. I don't care.
Yeah, Gravity Days is such a better name. And old English would not at all be recognizable. What you're speaking is Middle English.
Okay. Well, thanks, Grandpa Colin.
You're welcome.
Wait, suck me a dick.
Canadian? No, what is that?
Caesar would have gotten that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's begin the show with what we always begin the show with. What is once, now, and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
All right, so we're going to do the Roper Report a little differently. And,
oh
if,
my
this,
gosh.
And if this works, I'm actually just going to keep doing it like this because it's so
You're
much
You're
going to
save some trees?
I don't really care about the trees.
Wow.
Did you just write it all down on your phone?
No. I'm just going to go through the blog.
Funny story. Yeah, IGN's broken at the moment. Every time you first click a link, it 500 errors.
404?
No, it's 500.
500?
500 internal
what
server.
What does that mean?
I don't know, man. It's like magic.
It's something new. It's something fresh.
But it's only first time. If you refresh it, it's fine. Always refresh a page before you go check out what's happening on Kotaku.
So let's just take it as it comes, shall we? There are an unknown number.
You like to take it as it comes, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. You fucking know I do. There are an unknown amount of items on the Roper Report this week.
Uncharted territories.
Later. This story by IGN staff says Deep Silver denies Dead Island 2 plans. Deep Silver has denied a story that it is working with Jaeger Development. Yes, Jaeger Development. On
That's
a sequel to Dead Island. Guido Eichmeier, development director of Deep Silver, told IGN, quote, "We are neither working with Jaeger on Dead Island 2, nor do we have any contractual agreement with Jaeger about any project at this point." Jaeger, by the way, is Y-A-G-E-R, not the Jaeger that gets Clements excited.
I do like Jaeger.
I drink Jaeger every day.
So that's,
then I don't work on Dead Island 2.
So that's that story. Does anyone care? I don't know.
No, I mean, I think Dead Island 2 is a no-brainer. Remember, we had a long time ago, we had a news story about how they had copywritten or trademarked Dead World.
Dead World, right.
Like, it's like Dead Island sold so bonkers that, yeah, it makes total sense.
I do want to go back and play it more. It's a cool game. Yeah. It just came out at a bad time.
You and I should play together when there's nothing to come, so never.
So never.
That'll never happen.
No. But, like, this summer is my only chance to play, like, all these games I need. I'm so screwed on that shit. It's not even funny. Okay. This story by Justin Rubio is titled Download PlayStation 3 Games Before Launch.
This one's hot. This is the hotness.
It says Sony is following the lead set by the PC gaming world and will now allow you to download games prior to release. Just as it is with Steam, downloaded PlayStation 3 games will be accessible for playing once the title launches, with the monetary transaction taking place 2 days prior. According to Polygon, Sorcery will be the first game to take advantage of the new feature. By the way, my Sorcery review goes up on Monday. Sorcery will be available May 22nd exclusively for the PlayStation 3.
Hotness.
Don't care.
I gave it a.
But I don't.
Redacted.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. What don't you care about?
No, just Sorcery.
Oh,
not going to play Sorcery.
Why not? Just not even gonna show, you're not even gonna give a shout?
No.
You're that? Okay, fine.
I don't want to play the move game.
Okay, I'm more excited in general about this idea that you could buy a game early and have it, you know, reset to go and download, install.
That part's great.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Greg.
Yeah, lay the thing on me.
Because I do the PSN update on IGN PlayStation every week. And what you notice is that retail games are coming out at $60 a pop.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense. Like Saints Row 3 just came out at $60. See, that game is probably impossible to find in retail at $60 at this point. So what the hell are you paying for?
What you're talking about, I think, are apples and oranges in a way. Putting the new game out at $60, day and date, $60 game, that I'm not as upset with. I wish it was cheaper.
It's got to be cheaper.
It should be, yeah, but I think it's, well, I wish it was. I don't know if it should be. I wish it was cheaper, but it's still getting the product day and date, and it's because I'm too lazy to go to the store. I don't want to go to the store. It's a convenience charge. In a way, they could charge more.
Sure, but can you imagine downloading Sorcery on PSN? Good God, how long is that going to take? Also, put on your thinking caps real quick.
Ah, man, I hate doing this.
Put on your thinking caps real quick.
I usually throw it away when I come in Beyond, but all right.
So, you know, I often complain about, you know, that games are...
that
I often say games are cheaper and that, you know, obviously developers, it's not altruistic and developers need to make their money and stuff like that. But the one problem I do have with this is when they're charging full retail price on a digital download of a version of a game, even if it's brand new. Because you saw that with Mass Effect 3, it was day and date or whatever, at $60. They're cutting out the middleman. So actually what's happening, this is an example of gouging.
This is interesting.
Because now, you know, it's less than $10 probably per, you know, well, it's actually probably more than that when you get, you know, GameStop or you're a retailer in there. But let's assume that $10 goes to like the person printing the disc, the shipping and all that stuff. And then Sony and the developer take the rest of the money. So like $50. And I don't know exactly like how much money everyone gets.
Yeah, yeah.
But now like what's happening is that the person printing the game is now cut out and the retailer is now cut out. And so now Sony and the developer are actually getting more money from you downloading the game.
Interesting. Interesting.
And that I do have a problem with. That's just weird and fucked up.
I wonder if there's something that we're not taking into account.
Wait, yeah, server costs, the people you need to get it on digitized.
Maybe. I mean, I don't.
Maybe there are other costs affiliated with putting it on online.
Maybe, but
I put a pin in this one. We'll ask you.
Yeah, I mean that's a good question. Ow, that hurt.
For those at home and not in the room with us three, Clements poked Colin with an imaginary pin.
Yep. I don't know. So that just rubs me the wrong way. Like that, you know, everyone says that, you know, get, you know, day one DLC and all that stuff's anti-consumer. I disagree. What I say is anti-consumer is this charging $60 for a game digitally, even if it's brand new.
All right. This is going on. We're starting a new note on my notepad here. It's called Shoe Hate Questions. That's number one.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid HD Collection Vita release date. Exclamation point is the strap.
I use that a lot.
Aching to play Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty and Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater on the PlayStation Vita. More 2 than 3 for me. Yeah. Well, the Metal Gear Solid HD collection arrives June 12th. That's fucking awesome. This is your chance to be Snake on the go and earn some trophies, but keep in mind that the Vita collection doesn't include Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker like the PlayStation 3 version did. I wonder why. That's it.
Cool.
Moving on.
This is a cool one for you, especially Greg, because I know you like The Walking Dead so much. Telltale Games, The Walking Dead sells a million, by Colin Moriarty.
That's you!
Today, developer Telltale Games revealed that the first episode of its Walking Dead adventure series has sold 1 million copies. The game can be purchased on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live as well as for the PC, but you only want it on PSN. Quote, The Walking Dead is Telltale's fastest-selling game series to date, with the first episode of 5 titled A New Day topping the sales charts at the number one best-selling title on Xbox Live Arcade, etc. and so on.
What about release date? You scooped this for episode 2.
Yeah, 4 more episodes of The Walking Dead are forthcoming. The second episode, Starving for Help, is due out in June.
Walt writes into Beyond at IGN.com. I'm happy to see that Telltale's Walking Dead game is selling well, and I love the first episode. It's also pretty good for trophies. Here's a Colin/Greg trophy whore question. It looks like once all 5 Walking Dead episodes are out, everyone will receive a platinum just for playing through each episode and finishing the game. What he means is if you play all 5 right. In one, you'd get a platinum. They're one trophy set. I didn't want him to think you're getting 5 platinums.
Stop confusing me.
What's happening?
Walt's confusing everyone.
Am I in a podcast right now?
How do you two feel about this? Is it too cheap a way to get a platinum? Do you feel we should have to do extra things beyond finishing the game to earn platinum?
Beyond.
Keep up the good work.
No, I don't think that's a cheap platinum.
I agree with
that. But I've been having, Greg, I don't know how you feel about this because you haven't really played the game yet, but I've been having a bit of a conundrum with, you know, we like easy
trophies. Quantic conundrum,
yes. We like easy trophies.
Greg, wait. Yeah.
And, you know, easy trophies are good, but and playing Burning Skies, because now that the trophies are out there, I'm not going to talk about the game itself, but the trophies list has been out there or whatever.
Yeah.
They're too easy. And I'm telling you that some of the secret trophies that you think they're like, you know, maybe something else are not what you think
they're
they
are. They're not playing on hard
No.
And good.
And so I'm playing the game through on hard right now, and I already got one of the secret trophies, a gold trophy, for beating one of the new Chimera, like in like a few seconds. It's just, there's a fine line where it's like, you know, you play shitty game, you get the trophy or whatever. But like the trophy's too easy. Like now and there's no trophies for Intel, which is insane. So now there's no reason to play the game again for me. If there's like hard might be the hardest difficulty level, the Intel doesn't really need to be collected. And if you want the trophies or whatever, I think that Nihilistic went in the wrong direction with the trophy list in this one. Like
it's too interesting.
Like they did something nice that Insomniac hasn't done, which is like giving you trophies for actually doing like beating parts of the game.
Made their multiplayer ones reasonable.
Yeah, you get a gold trophy for playing once on multiplayer. Gold. Yeah, I mean, that's a little nuts.
Brilliant.
I just don't think it matters.
Marcus Smith.
But I do think it matters because like Resistance has been known for their really hardcore trophies, especially Resistance 3. You could beat Resistance 3 and get like nothing for beating the game. Like you get like 10% of the trophy.
That's no good.
You think it's known for that? You think you know it for that?
Well, like I think other people. Well, I mean, people on the trophy PS3, people on PS3trophies.org and stuff like that definitely know it.
Big shout out to them.
I use that site all the time. It's a hardcore game, and this is like the anti-hardcore.
I mean, it's one of those things. I think there's so many hardcore games out there that you don't need to worry about it. I think having a totally obtainable platinum isn't a big deal. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Burning Skies one. I thought Prototype did a great job of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because you have to go do extra shit. Like, it's basically like do everything. I mean, that's what Infamous was too.
Yeah,
and Infamous 2, and I thought Infamous and Infamous 2 did it really well. Like, it's fair. Yeah. You're not doing anything too crazy. The first Infamous had those like skills based ones which were annoying as fuck, but. You know, Infamous 2, I think, was actually kind of perfect.
Anyway. Now, Clement, somewhere in there, you took a deep breath and you shook your head. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
What's rattling around in that brain?
That's because I think that trophies don't really matter as much as they're being made out to be.
They're a nice bonus, though, for replay. For some people.
That's true. I guess if you were getting them for replay value and it's taking away from the replay value, I could understand that. Okay. I've never been, you know, I've just never had it. I've never resonated with it as much as you have, so it doesn't matter as much to me.
Mm.
What does matter to you?
Nothing.
A lot of things, actually.
In like a gaming world.
Oh, because I was about to say the spreading of positive energy, the pursuit of happiness.
Spreading of something.
Those sorts of things. Those are important to me in life. The pursuit of knowledge.
Trevor Cannon writes into beyond@ign.com, and he says, Ryan, did Diablo 3 live up to the hype?
Yes. Except, I mean, obviously, it was very upsetting for a lot of people.
Talk me through this. So I was gone, so the game comes out. You take the day off work, like I've done for a few games here and there.
Yes.
And all I see online, though, is the Error 37.
Yes, Error 37. So basically, they were having just a lot of issues, especially on launch night when no one could just log in on launch night, which was originally the plan, is people would be able to log in 12:01 a.m. on May 15th. They couldn't. And then on launch day, things were way smooth. I mean, people were getting on and people were playing, but there were big chunks of the day on Thursday. One from like, I don't know, like 9 or 10 in the morning till like 11. There was like a chunk there, and then there was a chunk later at night.
Were they working on it?
Where they were like, they took them down, they were doing repairs, and then they were bringing them back online.
Kind of repairs were they doing?
Yeah, that always boggles my mind. It'd be so interesting.
They got the toolbox out, they're hitting the server with a ratchet.
Ding, ding. No, I mean, it's the sort of thing where I guess maybe it would. We never know exactly what's going on over there, right? We can't really know unless they were to tell us.
Sure,
A, B, and C is what happened, and that's why they went down. So we can only speculate. And yeah, it's possible that they didn't expect this much, you know, this many people trying to play, which seems sort of ridiculous because they should sort of have an idea, judging by the response from the community, by the amount that they've sold, by the number of downloads that they had from the digital side. Like, I feel like those are statistics they have access to, which leads me to believe that these were just unforeseen things that they couldn't predict. Something went wrong during launch. I mean, this was a huge undertaking for them to launch this stuff.
Sure.
The fact that this game is designed to, you know, it'll probably be played. Well, I mean, people still play Diablo 2 and it's been out for 10 years. So, I mean, this game is going to be around for a really long time. So having it problematic for the first day or two, well, very frustrating for those people who have been waiting. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I can understand. I was even frustrated. Like, last night, I decided not to go to the gym and just play more Diablo. And this is like, it was the third time I went to log in. And it's like, nope. And I was like, very, you know. Okay. But no, I mean, it seems to be up and running now. I think they've gotten most of the issues sorted out.
Sorted out.
Now it's just a matter of optimizing.
Blizzard, you look like a sweaty pedo.
You
Air
look like
37, that, sorted that, out.
I mean, we can talk about it at a different time or maybe on GameScoop or something, but Diablo 3
is... The kids know you. They know.
Diablo 3 is probably one of the most, like, rewarding games that I've ever played in terms of constantly giving you something to look forward to, be excited about. Both incredible for single and multiplayer. I mean, it's just an example of a supremely well made game. Awesome. in all capacities.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
Yes. I look at it this way. I don't play PC games. I don't play Diablo because I don't play baby games. But but I feel like with the server load, like if a company could have solved that problem, it would have been Blizzard. And because that kind of problem happened, it just seems like it's an inevitability of a game that big. So I think people need to, like, I saw a lot of people bitching and whining on Twitter about it. You got to kind of chill out a little bit. If you waited 10 years for, you can wait like another week for them to fix it.
Sure.
But it wasn't even a week. Sometimes it was just a matter of hours. But like, it's, you know.
I imagine the game will be fine like this time next week, you know.
Oh, well, no, it's already almost fine. Like now I think it's just been up and running the whole time.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
In a follow-up to Trevor's email, Murphy Dip writes in and says, "You know what Diablo 3 doesn't have? Trophies. Nuff said." Bam! Vampire Strike.
They actually have a full achievement system built into the game.
Get the fuck out of this room.
No, I mean, it's not like Xbox achievements. They're just called achievements. I know. They're really cool, though, because they're tied. You guys don't care. It's fine.
Okay. I got my collector's edition. I'm all set to play.
Oh, okay. Well, they're tied. It's cool because the achievements are actually tied in with the game. So your character always has like a really cool banner that you can customize. It's sort of like waves in the breeze behind you, and you can like summon it like when you're in battle. But achievements unlock different banner patterns and like symbols. So you could ideally like show off like, you know, oh, I just beat the final boss on the most difficult setting. Look, and then it's on your banner.
That's cool.
I wonder if this game's going to be as good as
DC Universe Online.
Ruin.
Oh, Ruin. Yeah.
But close.
Sure.
I like that you called Diablo a baby game.
Well, I don't play baby. I don't play baby games. I'm just calling it like I see it.
You know that PC games, if anything, are like the grown-up and console games are the baby games, right?
No.
Because they did come first.
PC games are so old now that they're becoming senile. They were and back in a childlike state.
So when somebody says, "I don't play a baby's game," you think of it as an age thing?
What? No, it's just weird to me because he's calling an M-rated game that's this super hardcore game.
I call every
game
that I don't care about a baby game. Every single one of them that I don't care about.
That's
fair.
Baby game. That's fair.
It'd be great if you went back and like you searched Colin Moriarty on IGN and showed all his reviews and it was like Infamous 2, whatever, some other game he reviewed and liked, and it was just baby's game, baby's game, baby's game.
Baby. I've been saying that. I've been playing Resistance on the train, by the way, and I've been saying that to fuck. and some lady
the amazing thing is, I think there was one train ride where I was on the train and I see Colin like looking away, like sitting facing in the other direction. So I was like slowly just like making my way through the train. With each stop, I would like get a little closer, and like eventually I was literally standing behind him for. I just waited to see what happened because he's on his Vita, and I think at one point you were just like, fuck, like out loud. And I was just like trying not to laugh. It was funny. I'm sure it looked really creepy. The dude just, I'm just slowly like getting like closer and closer, like, Mr. Moriarty.
Want some M&Ms?
You guys want some
M&Ms?
All right,
get back to the news. Let's get the fuck out of the news.
Apply for the Dust 514 beta by Greg Miller. If developer CCP's free-to-play first-person shooter has you all hot and bothered, and it does for me, get your email address over to the Dust514 beta page. While registering doesn't guarantee you a spot in the testing period on your PlayStation 3, it is your best shot to play the game that syncs up with EVE Online early.
I wrote that. Those are my words.
Yeah, those are your words.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them?
Pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't like this Wait for the Rope report.
I'm sorry. This is the best I can do.
I'm not. I know. I'm for trying it. I'm just wondering if you like it.
It's okay. Here's another interesting one. Square says Final Fantasy VII remake not a priority. Of course it's not, because that makes too much sense.
Makes money. They don't want the money.
Sad news for Final Fantasy VII fans, because Square Enix has stated that new Final Fantasy titles take precedence, quote, over a remake of the much-loved classic. In an interview in Japanese magazine Famitsu, character designer Tetsuya Nomura said, quote, Nomura. There are a lot of people who want a remake of Final Fantasy VII. However, new titles take precedence. We work our hardest to make something that might be even better than Final Fantasy VII. The new Final Fantasies must overcome the Final Fantasy of the past. Good fucking luck. He also expressed his belief that series producer Yoshinori Kitase...
Kitase-san. He's a nice guy.
...is the future of the Final Fantasy series and urged fans to trust the direction he takes it in. No thanks. Desire for a remake has been high since the tech demo of the PlayStation 3 showed Cloud Aerith and the bustling streets of Midgar in high definition. Mm-hmm. They are making a huge mistake.
Not remaking it. I mean, Yeah. That's, I guess there's really nothing to say about it. It's tough, you know, Colin, that we are in a unique position in this industry where I can associate a real human being with, like, these names and these massive creative decisions that basically sweep across the entire world, right? Like, mm-hmm. the choices that Kitase and Nomura and, oh my God, I forgot, Toriyama, the three guys.
I mean, Jerry.
Yeah, and Jerry.
And Bob.
And Jim.
Bob Smith.
The choices these guys make influence a project that, you know, like, think about how important that project is to gaming and like, you know, going all over the world. So when you know the human behind it and you meet them and you have dinner with them and you talk with them, it's like, it really, it adds a very interesting and unique perspective to this whole thing. Like, kind of, when Nomura says, like, you know, I have faith in his direction, like, we may say, good luck. And I mean, I agree with you. It's like, obviously, the direction we haven't been happy with. But at the same time, you have to think about it as, like, he's trying to support his colleague who's pouring his life into this series that has a lot of other problems, too, you know? It's, like, something we should think about.
But I'm starting to wonder with Square if they're just tone deaf now. Like, if they're just totally tone deaf.
You know, or it might be an issue of pride and that, you know, they don't want to admit, like, that they're wrong.
But it's, you might be right. I mean, you might very well be right, but, like, no one, like, I'm not going to say no one because that's not reasonable. Vast majority of people who love Final Fantasy don't want more of what they're doing. They don't want it, you know? They don't want it. They are loud and clear that they do not want that Final Fantasy anymore. They want a more traditional Final Fantasy. And they can make the Final Fantasy look like Final Fantasy 13, but they can do it different.
In a traditional way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you don't want to make remake 6 and 7. That's totally fine. You guys don't want to revisit it. I think part of the reason they don't want to revisit it, frankly, is because they think they're going to fuck it up. And that...
I can understand that.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. I mean, Final Fantasy 7 needs to be rendered all over again. I mean, it would take years to do it, you know? Which is why it's disconcerting to me that they're just saying that we're not... Like, I've always kind of hoped, until they've been more vocal about it recently, that that's what they've been working on. And they're clearly not.
Yeah. They're just not. I don't think they have anything on it.
And it sucks. But, like, I really am concerned. Like, I'm concerned about Square. I've been talking about, you know, to some people about how Square is making good decisions in terms of Eidos and in terms of, like, Western games.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Reviving Sleeping Dogs was a good idea. Obviously, they have Deus Ex. They're going to have Tomb Raider. Those are the kinds of games that make sense. But when you think about, like, their core games, their internally developed games, like, what are you doing? You know, like, we want something else. Why? Where's a new Final Fantasy Tactics game? Why are games like Brave Fencer Musashi that are, like, cult favorites? Like, why are they just totally ignored? Why are you still making PSP games? Why, you know, like, all these things, like, all these questions.
Because PSP games sell really well in the...
With their target audience, sir.
Yeah, but, like, that's 15% of the market. And on a dead handheld.
I know. Didn't the PSP continue to outsell the Vita?
Yeah, it does. That's the whole other issue. Add that to the Shuhei list.
All right, Brian Altano texted me something here. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
These are his words.
Okay.
Per the 62,000 people surveyed in IGN's Great Gamer Survey, people are more excited for The Last of Us, a new IP, than Halo 4, Microsoft's flagship game franchise, Beyond. And then I said, can I say that on Beyond? He said, yup, exactly why I send it. Pimp my Twitter.
Agent Pizzle.
So it's been pimped. Thank you, Brian, for that news.
That's good news.
Good job, everybody, for supporting new IPs.
Yeah, definitely. The Last of Us is...
What's the one I'm asking? I'm sorry. Last of Us is what? What are you saying?
No.
What's the question for Shuhei?
PSP versus Vita, why are they still supporting the PSP? So I had Howard. Okay. Let's do a few more, and then we'll move on. April's best-selling PlayStation Network games. I thought this was interesting, because the number one best-selling PlayStation Network game in April was I Am Alive. Ugh. The best-selling Vita game
Take my word for it, guys. Come on.
The best-selling Vita game was Escape Plan, not surprisingly. Best-selling add-on was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Collection 1. And, the best-selling PS1 classic, Final Fantasy VII, for, like, the 18th millionth month in a row.
18 millionth month? Yep. Well, that's... No, PlayStation hasn't been around for that long. That's not possible.
And it is. It's so possible that I just said it, in fact. And why'd you do that, Ryan?
That actually shocked me a little bit. I was not expecting
Ryan
that.
Was holding out a marker, like, as if he was going to hit me, and then I just moved my hand into it and blamed him on it.
Gotcha.
Him for it. Finally, let's just do this final question. We're not going to... This isn't as comprehensive as usual, but because I don't know what I'm missing, but this I thought was interesting. Best Buy seems to have given three PlayStation 3 exclusives release dates. And this was found by a website called Trendy Gamer. They have Little Big Planet Karting slotted for September 25th, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale slotted for October 23rd, and Ni No Kuni slotted for January 15th. Now, the reason I think that those dates are actually legitimate is because they're not placeholder fiscal year dates. You know, it's not September 30th. It's not January 1st. It's not December 31st. These are actually very specific. September 25th, October 23rd, January 15th.
Yeah.
So I bet you those are the real release dates.
Sounds reasonable, although I'm kind of surprised that All-Stars would come out. Like, I kind of would have figured that that would be in development for a while longer. Seems like it was still really early. I mean, they just made the official unveiling, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, they're just announced, just on, you know, just, an unveiling doesn't mean it's not that further along than that, you figure.
Sure, but, you know.
Speaking of All-Stars, Colin Moriarty.
Yeah.
Russell writes into beyond.ign.com. With the announcement that PlayStation All-Stars will be using a super system instead of relying on ring outs, I'm worried that this will eliminate some happy accidents that made Super Smash Bros. So successful. Things like guarding the edge and trying to catch people when they can't block or to get a KO seems like it will be non-existent. Do you know if players will be able to block the super attacks? Also, is there room for some happy accidents? Russell.
That's a good question. It's funny you write in.
I just saw PlayStation All-Stars yesterday. Colin and I today recorded a PlayStation conversation about it. Hopefully it'll be up. I'll embed it in the article. If not, look for it later this week. I fell in your same camp. I played it, and I had fun, and then I had to ask them, though, like, at the end. I'm like, so I won 11. You know, I won 11 to, like, 4. I just destroyed these other journalists. They were just crying. And I'm like, what the fuck did I do, though? Like, I don't understand. Like, and he's like, oh, well, you know, you knock people out with your supers. I'm like, well, what about just normal attacks? Like, oh, no. And I'm like, well, what do the normal attacks wear people down? I'm like, oh, no, that's just building up your super. And I was totally, I was devastated. That just doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, that doesn't
Colin sound has right. No problem with it.
It's not that I prefer, we played, we, you know, so this past weekend we were fucking bombed and we played Smash Brothers and it was really
that
fun.
That was one of the best nights I've had in a while.
Yeah, that was so fun. And then we watched.
We need to do more. I love playing Smash Brothers. I'll play Smash Brothers all the time.
And then
we watched what
Would You Do with John Quinones, which is
Clint, great. Who is this man?
Who is this man?
I love, by the way, about John Quinones, that what seemed to bother Clements the most is how many people recognize John Quinones.
Oh, it's such bullshit. Can't be right.
But we played it, and I prefer the system of having, you know, percentages, and you're more, and as the percentage grows, you're just easier to smash or whatever.
Yeah.
But I understand why they're doing this, because it's not like we said in the video, it's not a direct facsimile now, because the entire idea of the game is now different. As opposed to being like, oh, you take damage and, you know, you get knocked off the stage and all these things. Like, it would be like straight up Smash Brothers. And I kind of feel that Superbot Entertainment was like, we need to make this game a little different. And I think the game is different. It's not ideal. I think that's probably what's going to keep it from not being as good as Smash Brothers ultimately. But, you know.
I mean, when something works really well, change it.
It's one of those things they've gone. I think you said today that it's like 95% Smash Brothers. Like, why the fuck would you go that far but not the extra 5%? You know what I mean? Like, and you're doing it with this thing. I think it's just a weird thing to explain to somebody. Like, because it's totally my first impression of the game. Oh, this is cool. It's pretty. Fat Princess rides around on a chicken for one of her specials. This is cool. But what am I doing? Oh, that's how you knock people out. Oh, what if I just punched them? Oh, no. What if I use one of the items? No, that would help you go up. Or I think some of the items do knock you out.
There's more nuance to the game. And this is what I was kind of talking to Rich. I feel like this game has just more nuance, because it's about not only gaining AP and those little orbs or whatever to, like, do your powers, but it's about getting, like, oh, shit.
I ain't got no cell phone.
I don't know. This is from New York, but I'm declining. It's about reducing the skill level or the super level of the fellow players. Like Parappa the Rapper has that thing where he like deploys his radio, and then it like shoots out all the orbs, and you can just gather them. But if you like punch Parappa out of the way, then you can just steal them from him. So there's like this strategy there. It's just different strategy. And also, I feel like this is a pretty common complaint, and I wouldn't be surprised if they fixed it, you know, and did something else, because there's time.
It seems like a goofy idea to me, is all. It's hard to wrap your head around. I'm not a big fan right now. I still want the game to be good. I still want to play the game and everything. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad.
No, it's definitely not bad. It's definitely not bad. I'm excited for E3 because I think there are going to be new characters.
I just want to play more Smash Brothers now.
Yeah. We had a great time playing Smash Brothers. Charles was just beating the shit out of us.
Yeah, we were clowns. I was consistently second behind Charles, and I wasn't even in his league.
He won the last four matches.
No.
I was.
Yeah, do you not remember that? Were you too drunk?
Probably was, but
Dad.
I remember.
I was all fucked up. Remember, because I love Smash. Well, that's a little known fact about me. I fucking love Smash Brothers.
Do you remember when I was literally charging up the move for like 5 minutes, and you were just like, slowly trailed in, and then I just unleashed. You just go flying. I love when people go flying.
Real quick before Russell asks, can you block specials? You can't block them. A special will be broken by blocks. However, there are evade moves that you can use to evade any special. So as long as you hit it and time it right, you'd be all right.
Yes.
See, that's cool, and I like that. It just all comes down to sounding like the old wrestling games of like, I'm beating on you to get my special to hit the special to win. And even then, when I'm beating on you, you're showing signs of damage. You're moving slow, or you're, you know, holding your side or something. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean,
we better. You'd better see.
I don't really have a problem with it, but I feel like I might understand their rationale, and maybe that's not going to be acceptable to most people. But and it might ruin the game. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. Tomb Raider got delayed too, but that's about it.
2013 now. A lot of games getting delayed.
Now, I think the only reason that I prefer the old way, and I know it's more work, so maybe we can find a middle ground. Because I feel like because you're just reading it off our site, people that have access to our site might have already just read all that
stuff.
No,
you're absolutely right. It's just this isn't an everyday thing. This is like I'm swamped and drowning right now.
Right. So I understand.
We get it.
I totally understand. I just wanted to give my feedback.
We're going to get you a Domino's gluten-free pizza tonight. You're going to be set straight.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Cool. By the way, you wanted to play Diablo 3 soon?
Not soon. I got 2 Vita games to review because I got a deadbeat friend.
Because I took your PC and made it into Chloe's litter box. So
oh, man.
That's all fucked up now.
That's fucked up.
Wow.
That's not cool.
No, it's not cool at all, man.
We have this giant PC in our living room. It looks like a fucking alien tech.
I asked you if you care. You don't even care.
No, I don't care.
You guys said you all sleep together, and I want to know is like who is the Papa Spoon?
Mike Mitchell's in the middle.
Mike Mitchell's in the middle, and are you the Papa Spoon?
No, he lays flat on his back and cradles us.
And you're each like in his arm.
He's like the man that he keeps us protected.
I'm sure you remember the end of American Pie 2. He's Stifler, and we're the two lesbians from American Pie 2. That's a good movie, good film.
We just watched those.
Ready for another bombshell?
No, I don't. Okay. I know you didn't see this one.
Okay, never mind.
You don't see movies.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay,
tell me. I want to know.
Never seen any American Pie movie.
Do you ever just look back and like you know how you always feel like an outsider in our culture and like you always feel like nobody accepts you or likes you that much? Do you ever step back and think about if you just didn't watch all these crazy YouTube videos for like 14 hours a day, maybe you could get some real movies in?
Right.
Find a connection. Fix your hair. Fix your clothes. Get out there. Work at a Burger King and just make some friends.
There was a weird combination of real life shit in there and like anti-truths that were going on.
Anti-truths.
Yes,
I think they call those falsities.
I'm above the influence.
But I thought anti-truth would actually sound more funny and powerful.
Funnier.
Sure. I would like to point out that ever since I joined Netflix, I've been trying to catch up on movies. And I often
but you keep just watching
go
anime.
Back and... Actually, I haven't watched sat down and watched an anime in a while.
Okay.
Except last
What's
night.
Last Netflix? Yeah, okay. That was, yeah,
Bubblegum Crisis.
No, but that is an anime, so well done.
Ranma half.
That's not how you say it, but like, yes, that's a thing.
What do you say? How do you say it?
It's Ranma, and it's like 1.5, I think.
No, it's half.
It's half?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Here's the reason I know this. Is because my brother's an animator, and he's a traditional animator now, but he was like really into Japanese anime when we were young, and he was really into, it's Ranma.
Ranma.
But we had the Super Nintendo fighting game, which I think only like 5 people in the entire world had, and I was obsessed with it. So that's why I know it's just half.
Half. But I know they have, like there was a spin-off series that I think was like 1.5 or something
it
like that.
It could have been.
It's something like
I'm
that.
I'm sure it was as stupid as Ranma half was with the fucking panda that talked.
Yeah, just, you know, the problem is with that old Netflix thing, a lot of those movies aren't streaming.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I went to go watch the original American Pie when the newer one was, like, getting ready to come out, and I was like, oh, this is a perfect time. Let me finally catch up on all these. None of them are for streaming, and I'm like, I guess.
Colin and I had to buy them off Amazon.
I'm probably going to just go
Voodoo.
And get the DVDs.
Did we do Voodoo? I can't remember.
Because remember, Amazon was like, it kept giving us error messages.
Now
like,
what's
are
your
you
security
sure?
question? Now what's this? Now what's
Sorry,
your email?
Fuck you.
Wait, your account isn't registered. Oh, fuck this.
I have the DVD plan through Netflix too, so I could very easily just get those. I prefer streaming.
Okay, I agree.
You know what? You need to. I want everyone to write into Netflix and support them in their attempt to get Jericho back on the air as well, please.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
Please do that. I was so excited. I don't remember being that excited at work since Mega Man 10 was announced.
Yeah.
Where I like had to walk around for like a half an hour because I had so much energy.
When you did the rant, were you like intentionally pulling real life things from me?
I knew
like,
you worked at a Burger King.
Okay, yeah. I thought, okay. That's what I figured. Because that was a very specific example.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So Colin, a while ago you mentioned my PC's ruined, so I'm gonna have to go buy some games at the game store today. But where would I go to find out what's in those stores?
You go to the official list of upcoming PlayStation software on all 3 platforms by the IGN editors.
Boo, 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 boo.
So nothing on PSP.
Okay.
Nothing on Vita, shockingly.
Okay. They're building up for the Resistance.
Yeah, they're building up for the 2 games that are coming out this summer for Vita. So here, but there are. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You get tanks tomorrow or next week. Tabletop tanks, an AR game. It's not. It's good. It's only $2. Trophies, AR. You use the AR
cards. So what if you don't have the cards?
Print them off the IGN wiki. The IGN Vita wiki has them.
Beautiful,
beautiful,
beautiful.
Also, by the way, welcome. We should get the Welcome Park number box on there too for people on the Vita wiki.
Welcome.
Remember when
I just cheated the shit out of Welcome Park to get the trophies?
Yeah.
There's I got all the Welcome Park trophies except for like the one that had to do with the camera and moving around the pieces or whatever, because that's really hard. And they want you to take a real picture. So someone put online like a box of like 12 numbers, like perfect squares, and you put them, you center it in the camera and take a picture, and then you just move the numbers around the screen. And it was still hard as hell, but it was much easier than the other way. So we should do that.
Man, people go through such great lengths for things that don't matter.
I know.
Like I'm doing with Diablo.
Exactly. Or like I'm doing with reading a book about Sputnik for some reason. There are four games for PS3. Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Boo.
Battleship.
I'm assuming boo.
Yeah.
I haven't checked trophies on it though.
And this one, I have no idea that this game was even coming out, and I assume we're not reviewing it. Test Drive Ferrari Racing Legends.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something we need to be checking.
I'll review it.
By Polyphony Digital.
But really?
No. They're not going to come out with another game for 6 years. Come on.
Get your head on
this. If they ever come out with a game again, yeah. I bet they shut down.
I think Gran Turismo 6.
Let's talk about the digital mom and grop shop.
Okay.
PSN games. You saw GoldenEye 007 Reloaded come there for $60. Jam Live Music Arcade for $10. Pixel Junk 4 AM for $10. Prototype 2 for $60. Rock of Ages for $10. Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2 for $15. No new Vita games. No new PSP games. But there is a mini Velocity. Then if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can get a discount on Assassin's Creed, GoldenEye, and then you get Rock of Ages for free off the PSN. So there you go. Take advantage of that. I didn't know that. I got to get on there and do it.
Rock of Ages is cool. I played it such a long time ago when Aram from Atlas came and showed it to us.
It's a mix of genres, right?
Yeah, it's like a tower defense game. Basically, like you have a rock is rolled down this course, and you have like all of these defenses to stop it from bashing into your door to break it or whatever. Gotcha. It's very bizarre, but it's cool. It's got like a art style that's very almost Monty Python-ish.
Like kind of 90s.
Yeah, very 90s, just like Monty Python.
PS1 classics, you get Myst. PS2 classics, Red Faction 2.
Yeah, the Myst is... I kind of want to play Myst, but I don't know how the port is. Myst is like a seminal game. Like,
yeah, I never played Myst.
I played it, but I don't want to go back.
It's an adventure game, but it's considered like one of the great adventure games. What was a game recently that people were saying was invoked Myst? I think I reviewed it. And I can't even remember what the fuck the game was.
Must have been good.
Datura.
That's exactly what it was.
Datura.
PlayStation Move.
All right. So moving on. We've been doing a lot of your mail. Topic of the week. I saw The Last of Us yesterday, and it was quite fucking good. Colin and I did another PlayStation conversation about this one. This one will actually go off today, probably, hopefully.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. You know, Damon makes him look good.
Yeah, he does. Sometimes you got to take the time to make everything just right.
I reenact everything, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, there was times where Greg was using my arm to punch him in his head, that he was hiding by my chair, he was on like all
it's a
tour
de force performance, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. If you can find this PlayStation conversation for Last of Us. But Last of Us, yeah, I got to see it yesterday. It's the gameplay demo that Game Informer got showed. If you were following this week, we put up the ambush trailer or cutscene or whatever that had Ellie in it. Ellie was briefly, she's a little bit redesigned. She's been de-aged a bit. She's younger, if you will.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Her face looks a little bit different. Not, it's one of those things I think at a glance nobody would have caught, but if you put them side by side, you're like, oh, she doesn't look as much like Ellen Page. And so this demo picks up right after they get the end of the cutscene where they get in the car accident or whatever. They pour out. These guys pour into the truck, tear them out of it. Joel kills this guy really brutally by slamming his throat down on this piece of glass. They shoot a little bit, which kind of looked like Uncharted, but you only have like three bullets. A lot of hiding. After you kill everybody in the whole room, one with a 2x4, another by like fucking slamming his head on the countertop or whatever. It's then you go into total stealth mode to try to kill the rest of them, and like there's a really brutal sleeper hold kill and all this other jazz. Really cool. Looks different than, I mean, it feels different than Uncharted. It's invoking a lot of different emotions than Uncharted, you know what I mean? I think Uncharted's so great at being this cheery adventure where you're killing people, but you're not thinking about it. It's pulpy, it's action, it's fast. Nathan's got a one-liner, and this one is totally like,
this
eerie
is
and quiet and fucked up, and these people are here to kill you and the girl you're with and stuff like that. It's really nice switch.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like in an environment like that, in a post-apocalyptic world that's so serious and so dire or whatever, it's such a brilliant move on Naughty Dog to have this older grizzled guy and this young girl that you're just going to care about, because like everyone is so crazy that you don't know what's going to happen to her. And so I feel like you're almost immediately going to be invested in protecting this girl because, like, as a player.
If you're not caught up on the story, of course, there's these quarantine zones that you that people are still living in, but in somebody pays Joel to take Ellie out of the quarantine zone. We don't know why yet. And so that's the whole point, obviously. You're this, you know, basically this, he kind of seems like a merc or whatever, gun for hire. Because at one point in this demo, Ellie asked him the question about, like, how did you know it was going to be an ambush? And he says, you know, I've been on both sides a few times before. And so then she asks, have you killed people before? And he's like, quiet. And she's like, I'll take that as a yes. And it's like one of those things where you're setting up already that he's not necessarily a good guy. You know what I mean? They always kind of toyed with this with Nathan Drake. He's like, oh, well, he's this tomb raider and all this stuff happens and yada, yada, yada. But like this one is like Joel apparently is ambushing people and killing them out in the wild. You know what I mean? It's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. It's I am so excited for that game. I don't know. It's such a ballsy thing to say, like, you know, you're going to be this dude that's this murderer, you're going to be this guy, and you're with this vulnerable girl who's like got to be brought somewhere or whatever, and everyone is just fucking crazy.
And see, that was, you know, and that was the thing, like when the truck gets in the car accident happens in the cutscene, then when it comes to in the gameplay, Ellie turns to you turns to Joel in the car and says, oh, I'm okay. And then the door flies open and this guy grabs her, and he's like this, like, filthy, like, you know, vagrant whatever guy who's out in the wild, and he's grabbing at her and clawing her, pulling her out, and throws her on the ground and gets on top of her. And it's like, it's not, I compared it to, like, not being like, you know, when Elena gets kidnapped by the pirates. Like, Elena's okay, nothing bad is happening, you know what I mean? This girl is, like, right in front of you. And somebody wrote in asking, like, I didn't put it in the questions, if we thought there was gonna be, like, really graphic stuff with her in this and blah, 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 blah. And I think that's gonna be the constant threat. That's definitely what they're gonna use to keep you on edge, right? That, like, even during the demo, like, so once they go around and they secretively kill everybody in that room, or once Joel does, Ellie at one point throws a brick. When Joel's, like, pinned down, she pegs a guy in the head with a brick, and then Joel runs out and fucking murders him. But once everybody's dead, Joel goes, you know, all right, you know what to do. And she's like, yep. And they start going around just scavenging, looking around and stuff. And there was, like, one part where they're working their way down a highway through all these abandoned cars to a what looks to be a quarantine zone. Like, it's got the quarantine stuff up and the gates closed or whatever. And they come with there's all these cars parked, and all the cars have been shot. Everybody inside the cars are dead. And Joel explains that, oh, you know, they were probably killed by the military. And he has to explain, you know, the good of the many versus the needs of the few or whatever. And so, but they start walking, and, like, he stops at a bus and goes in this bus, and there's all these dead bodies, and he's investigating, and you can see her, like, wandering off, like, going through the cars. And I was like, fuck, like, why? Don't let her go alone. Like, I would be outside of the bus with her, you know what I mean? At all times, or trying to get her to come back to me. And so there was just that tension that, you know, I mean, just that enough tension of she's going on and she doesn't know what she's getting into. Because the demo ends, I didn't write about this in my preview, the demo ends with them approaching the quarantine zone, but they're walking up to it, and then all these crows take off out of the quarantine zone. And she's like, what's that? And Joel's like, shut up, get down. And they get down behind this car and stuff, and sure enough, like, three dudes with axes climb up on top of this bus coming out of the quarantine zone.
And so it's humans.
Yeah, three normal. Yeah.
So still no infected. So
yeah, they've shown no infected since that initial trailer, which is weird, you know what I mean? And I asked, there's a Q&A up on the site, you know what I mean? And due to E3 scheduling and how it all works, I couldn't get Naughty Dog on the phone or get to them in person for these questions. So I had to email them questions. And obviously they're allowed to opt out that way. It's why, I think, why they do email. Most developers prefer email, right? And one of the questions I had in there is, like, tell me about the infected. What do they eat? Do they sleep? What do they do? Because it's like, I would think that they'd be everywhere.
And they just cross it out.
Yeah, they're like, nah, we're not going to talk about that. And that's, obviously, I understand that. You know what I mean? You want to hold for your reveal. They're showing different stuff at E3, so who the fuck knows
what we're
going to
see.
No, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is going back a little bit, but let's talk about Ellie for a second. I think it was, do we know how old that character is supposed to be? She's young, right?
Yeah, originally she was,
I don't even think she's a 14, teenager. 14,
right? Yeah, originally I think she was. And so now that they've dialed her back a bit, I'm saying 13, 12, 11, somewhere that little somewhere between adolescence and
I think it
teenage.
Was actually really smart to try and desexualize and kind of create a younger version of this character, because it fosters a relationship which we don't often get in video games and in film and stuff, and is she's a little sister or even a daughter figure. She is not a romantic interest. She's not a sexual object. It is like, this is a person that you want to protect, as you said. And I think that was just a really smart, it creates a lot of cool tension. And as you said, like a relationship that's a little outside what video games usually tend to do.
Yeah.
Cause most of the time, if it was Joel and like a 16 or 17 year old girl, like who still might be vulnerable because she maybe A, doesn't have combat training. B, she's like not, you know, she's like freaks out because as I probably would, if a giant fungus monster ran at me, it would, you know, you still want to protect them, but there's that underlying like sexual tension or romantic tension. But here it's kind of removed and it becomes more paternal. And I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely an interesting move. She's interesting already, like in the little bit we saw there, you know, that Joel seems like he's going to be the super serious guy where she'll interject sometime. And he was talking about at a different point, he's walking and he's like, she's yammering about something. And he's like, "Will you keep your voice down?" And she does like a Joel impression. She's like, "Okay." That was pretty good.
Yeah, she seems like she's going to be a super endearing character. I mean, because you even saw that in the original trailer. And I kind of wonder like where the original trailer which is like still one of the best trailers I've ever seen in my life. I think better even than the one they just released. Where the infected are like chasing him through the house or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, "You okay?" And she's like, "Better than that guy," or whatever. And I'm she's
a little badass.
Yeah, and that's the thing cool. too. Like, they're like, I mentioned it in the review, you know, the preview I posted or whatever. I was focusing more on the action, on what sets it apart from Uncharted. But just the language, you know what I mean? It sounds like they're cursing, and like she went right after Joel fucking murders the one guy by slamming his head on the counter, and she's like, "What the fuck was his prop?" With something like that, you know what I mean? Like she's like, and when she throws a brick at one of them, she's like, "Hey, fuck what?" And like, you know what I mean? Like, but it's not like, and like this is a oh god. I just unplugged my headphones, but I think you're okay, right?
You still hear me? I can still hear you.
It's one of those things where, for all the people who were like, when my prototype comet comeback, right? A lot of people were like, if this was happening, you'd curse too, and yada yada yada. And this is using cursing and using emotion the right way so far from what we've seen. I know it's just a short preview and two trailers or whatever, but that there's these peaks and valleys. You know what I mean? When she's walking around just with Joel, she's not like, "Fuck this and fuck that." But when they're like, you know, she was just about murdered or something worse.
Yes.
If possible. And you know what I mean? There's all this stuff. So it's interesting to see that. I'm going to try to fix my headphones.
Yes, do it. And on that same topic.
On that topic.
No, I mean that's pretty much it. I am super excited for a lot of reasons for this game. I hope that story stays strong pretty much all the way through.
Me too.
Also, let's take bets. I'm going to call. I have absolutely zero inside information. I know way less than Greg and Colin. Do we think that the reason that she is being transported, escorted, or that she plays a key role is because she somehow is involved with the cure of the outbreak?
I hope not. All right, so here's the way I feel about The Last of Us. Hopefully, and this is another thing I don't think they answered for us. I really, really want to believe that this game is going to be one game, and that's it. Like, it's not going to be like. So I would like
that too. I like standalone products.
Well, then,
that's
interesting because there's another question they didn't want to answer on the thing where I asked them that, because I want to say in Game Informer, and I'd have to go look at my questionnaires and then that article again. But it's one of the ones on IGN that we reported from Game Informer. It was that they were talking about how this was a self-contained story and there wasn't going to be a cliffhanger to it. Now, you could make the same argument that Uncharted's are the same way. Uncharted's end. It's not like, "Oh my God, Elena, hold on!" You know, cutscene, you know, whatever. But I would love that as well, especially for a studio as talented as Naughty Dog to be able to say, "Here's this great story we're going to tell you, and now we're going to move on and do something else." You know what I mean? And I know that. We run hot and cold in that shit, right? Because if tomorrow they announce Infamous 3, Colin and I are going to be like, "Fuck yes, like I want to see what this story is." But again, I wouldn't mind Sucker Punch going, "Now we're going to tell something completely different."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And now for something completely different.
I think it doesn't make sense when you think about IP and developing IP and developing like, you know, like a rapport with gamers in terms of them caring about your universe. But I think what would be really cool about The Last of Us is if it's like, "Hey, here's this fucked up world. This virus happened. You're never going to find out why it happened or how it happened. This is what the infected gave us. Joel is paid to bring this girl somewhere else, and that's basically it." You know, and so like the game is basically seeing the United States for 10 hours or whatever in this our vision of like a post-apocalyptic world, and then that's it. It's over. You know, and like that almost runs against everything I care about in certain shows. I mean, that's why we love Jericho, and that's why we love The Walking Dead, because we like the lore and we like to know like what's happening and more about what happened and stuff like that. And I feel like I want to go now in another direction with The Last of Us. And I really,
one of my favorite things about post-apocalyptic movies is a long sense of mystery and intrigue, which does have a cathartic release of knowledge and a revelation. I think that that's actually a really important part of these sorts of films, these sorts of games. It's just something I enjoy. I love being able to watch stuff, be curious, make my own predictions, guess about things, and then learn about it later. As long as it's done, you know, if it's done elegantly, and of course it can go either way. There are some movies that don't really explain what happens. I don't know. I can't really think of it. Like The Road, for example.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's the example.
Yeah, and by the way, I have not read the book. I've only watched the film, so I know it's kind of lame. But they never really explain it, and it totally works. That's cool. But I am of the type where I love to learn a little more about what happened.
Yeah, I mean that was what was so intriguing to me about The Road. I don't know, Greg. You never read it or saw it?
No, I still haven't seen it either.
I mean, I'm going to spoil it. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler. So you know the. What's brilliant about The Road, what's brilliant about the way Cormac McCarthy did it is, yeah, it's basically just a story of a father and a son. You have no idea what the fuck happened to the world, and you never find out, and they never even allude to it. The movie kind of alludes to it with, like, television stuff, like, where they kind of allude that it's this, like, huge natural disaster that just, like, wiped everything out. But the book does not mention any of that stuff at all. You know that he had a mom, the mom died, and now this father and son are just traveling across the United States for really no reason. You know, like, they're just trying to get to water. And that's what the whole book's about. So you get little, like, you know, there's, like, you know, we know that some of these people have slaves. Like that they're holding and they're like basically eating them. And we know that these people like are crazy and they still have like working trucks and houses and generators and stuff like that. And we know, and we meet people that are still surviving on the coast, but you never really like, it's never cohesive yet. It's like one of the best post-apocalyptic stories ever.
See,
and I think that's kind of cool.
I don't mind The Last of Us, I guess, pulling the Uncharted card of just not ending whatever the story is here ending. You know what I mean? Not that they both die or something weird like that. They get to their point, whatever they're, wherever he's taking Ellie, they get there, and then he drives away or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. I wouldn't mind. I like them establishing that world and then having the option of doing something there again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Whereas, it's not like if you – I don't want them to go through and find a weather balloon that cures everything or some shit like that, but
– You don't want it to end like Resistance 3?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I was driving at there. And start making prequels set between games, but yeah, I mean, if they could do something like that, it's kind of like
Marcus.
It's like The Walking Dead, right? Where, like, the comic book, where there are no explanations in the comic book. It's just there's a virus. This is our life now, and we're gonna survive for as many issues as this comic goes, which I think is cool. They have a universe. The downside of that is that, like, sometimes, and I love The Walking Dead comic, is that it definitely there's definitely long valleys. I'm like, all right, is something going to happen? Like, I just bought this monthly issue now, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? Why did I even do this? But then, like, there's a peak, and you're like, oh, there was a journey to get here. And, like, with The Last of Us, if they were to keep doing it, because I'm sure it's going to be a success, if they wanted to do two, it'd be interesting to see it pick up years later or whatever, right? Like, an older Ellie, and now she needs to get somewhere, and then Joel, you know, I mean, stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
play in the universe, sandbox room.
Yeah. I think
I don't want to see an older Ellie, I think, because then that just introduces all those typical themes.
But I'm saying, I mean, it's flipping the script. It's no longer the same game. We're playing as Ellie now, and we're out on our own mission, and we're solo, and yada, yada, yada.
I mean, I guess that'd be cool.
As a possibility. I mean, we have no idea what happens in the first game.
For sure. I like the speculation.
I can't wait for the Vita.
My speculation on it is that Joel dies in The Last of Us. So the like, and I've thought that kind of since the beginning.
The roadish.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like The Road, exactly. Because, you know, the father obviously dies.
Spoiler alert again.
Yeah, he already said he's going to ruin the book. I didn't think he'd ruin it until right there when you ruined it. But,
yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, the universe is there if they want to play with it. But I don't know. I'm just so excited about that game. I mean, that game trumps everything else that's on the radar, like, so hardcore. It's not even funny. I think Assassin's Creed 3 is probably, like, the next game I'm, like, so excited about. It's, like, fucking miles behind The Last of Us, so.
Yeah. After seeing it, I mean, it definitely is.
Is this a game you would take a day off to play?
Yeah, I mean, well, I suspect we'll... I think I'm reviewing it, actually, and I suspect that we'll...
That's a game you should just go home and just sit in your
room. Well, I will, but I'm saying I'll probably go home and play it, but I'm not going to take a day off because I'll be working, you know, technically. Yeah. And what I'm also excited
you
about, by the way...
BT-dub.
Because we were speaking of trophies, is how this game's going to deal with trophies, and I know that the bullet scarcity is, like, a really cool thing, and I hope that there's a trophy, like, for never using a gun, which I think would be pretty cool.
Interesting. Real quick, some questions about Last of Us. Philippe writes in, he says, I just read your preview for The Last of Us. While I thought what you wrote was great, I didn't recall your impressions on the graphics. I know the cutscene looks incredible, but since you got a chance to see in-game footage, I would like to know what you thought of that. Is it better looking than Uncharted? Thanks, Beyond.
But the cutscenes are in-engine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
you're getting a good reference point. It's strikingly beautiful. Like, I mean, it's really, really, really detailed, really, really beautiful. It's one of those things where, I mean, like, if I'm talking about Uncharted, I'm comparing it to 3, right, in the desert, and it's all cascading and that giant pan shot and stuff. They're playing with light in a way that I think maybe looks a little bit better as far as shadows, but it's so early I wouldn't want to go out on a limb there. It looks beautiful, comparable with Uncharted already, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like finally.
I think it looks phenomenal.
Squid Crumb Bum writes in.
Oh, Squid Crumb Bum.
Yeah. Naughty Dog seems to be moving on from the fun-loving Mass Appeal Uncharted games to darker, more disturbing narrative of Last of Us. What are your thoughts on this? Good move for Naughty Dog?
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a good move to diversify for sure. They have two teams, right? So one team was finishing up Uncharted 3. This team was out there working on this, and they are totally opposite ends of the spectrum. It's interesting for sure.
I don't want him to think. I mean, we don't know, but I mean, I'm still saying Uncharted 4 is an Orbis launch game.
The PlayStation 4 lineup is Uncharted 4 and anything else 4. Killzone 4, God of War 4, and a whole bunch of stuff like that. Interesting. All right, let's get on to some quick stuff, and then we'll get the F out of here, right? It's been a long show.
It's a good show, though. I really like talking about the important shit.
Colin, you answered Ryan O'Kelians. This guy's got a crazy name. I'm doing the best I can here, Ryan. I'm sorry. Ryan O'Kelians, I guess. Beyond, if you could only play one game released or expected release in 2012, what would it be and why? Also, Colin, which are you more anticipated for, Assassin's Creed or Last of Us?
Oh, The Last of Us by a mile. Yeah.
See, it's one of those things I still feel like Assassin's Creed is going to be different, if that makes sense. Like, I'm totally... obviously, I loved what I saw of The Last of Us yesterday. I'm totally on board with playing it. I can't wait. But even in a way, I'm more excited for this, like, really crazy... it's so weird, I guess, because you can make the same argument I'm about to make to any of them. Different, same kind of mechanics I know from Assassin's Creed. Awesome new setting. Something that I historically have always been really interested in. Not historically. But and then The Last of Us, obviously, different setting, different characters, same kind of thing. I don't know. Too close to call sometimes.
Those are the two. Those are the two.
And I also still haven't seen Assassin's Creed in motion. Like, I still haven't gotten a good demo of Assassin's Creed.
I mean, that Assassin's Creed 3 trailer that I broke down in Rewind Theater or whatever, I mean, that game is fucking nuts. I mean, I don't want to take, like, The Last of Us to, like, overwhelming me, meaning that I'm not excited about Assassin's Creed 3, because that game, it looks absolutely brilliant. Yeah, and I just...
It's funny because you're the one that really did not care for any of the Assassin's Creed
games. It doesn't
even
matter. Like, I'm not even thinking about it as an Assassin's Creed game. This is a game that looks like it's going to successfully take place in a time period and in an event that no one has touched with a 10-foot pole in games, you know, except outside of the realm of, like, obscure PC strategy games and shit like that. Like, this is watching the Battle of Bunker Hill take place in the background, and he's, like, running around the periphery of it, like, just fighting people, like, while all this, like, these salvos are happening and stuff like that. It's fucking awesome. It just looks so cool, and he's just brutalizing people.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like,
remember when he kills that bear?
Does he kill him?
I think the bear just look is like. Murr.
But I like the one scene in Assassin's Creed 3, right? I don't know if you saw the trailer, right? Like,
I saw the trailer. Yeah, I have someone who caught the rewind.
It's so cool in the trailer. Like, he's running after this horrified British soldier, like, through the woods. Yeah. And it's like, it's so cool. He's dropping. He doesn't have any of his weapons. He's, like, looking around. It's like, I don't know. It's just insane. And that one, that hook gun where he or that hook, yeah. Not a gun. It's a like a some sort
and
of implement.
He pulls the
dude
yeah.
Like
up
he basically
the
like
tree.
Stabs the guy and then just, like, jumps off the tree and just pulls him up.
It was like an arrow with a rope. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I was like, holy shit.
All right, final question of the week. Final question of Podcast Beyond 240. Comes from Josh Merchant. Quick fire answers. Ryan.
Yeah.
My fiance beat her first game, Cosmic Quest.
Aww.
I'm not knowledgeable about turn-based RPGs at all, so is there anything you can recommend in the style of Cosmic Quest that you think she would enjoy?
Oh, can you come back to me?
Sure.
It's a little tricky.
Greg, you mentioned Pachis and Wing Wings quite often. Out of curiosity, how many times a week do you order pizza and or wings? Oh, man. It happens a lot. It's more pizza. Wing Wings doesn't deliver to me. So wings, I should
try to get them delivered tonight.
I make wings every week. Colin can attest to that. It's the first thing I make, too, once I get my groceries on Saturday or Sunday. Pizza, I mean, usually at least twice a week.
Too much. I mean, when you look in our kitchen, we have, like, a recycling bin, and there's just sometimes, like, 8 boxes
of
pizza.
It's disturbing how many pizza boxes, because we all order at different times in the day. On the same day, the delivery driver will come to our house 3 times. He's done that before. All right, and then, Colin, your question.
Yes.
I listened to some old episodes of Podcast Beyond, and you mentioned your older brother inviting you into his room so you could play some Final Fantasy VI and such. I know he is a, quote, super grown-ass man, end quote, now, but does he still play video games?
No, not really. I mean, he's how old is he? He's 39 now.
Oh, my God.
He's got 2 kids, and he's
grown a... grown-ass man.
He's an animator. He animates for Sesame Workshop, actually. And, so he's just really busy, but he has a PlayStation 3, and he occasionally he's like, oh, I downloaded Mega Man 10, or, you know, I'm playing Street Fighter Cross Tekken, or he loves fighting games. But, like, I think, like, he plays, like, a handful of, like, he bought, like, Super Mario Galaxy 2 or something like that.
Gotcha.
For Wii. So, like, he plays occasionally, but I don't think he has, like, any time. And when we talk about games, like, when I showed him Vita over Christmas, he was, like, floored. He's like, wow, man.
This is how far it's come.
And the game that he brought me into his room for, and that story was Final Fantasy IV, because I didn't love
Get your shit together, Josh Merchant. Fuck!
Wait, what's this guy's name, Josh?
Josh Merchant.
And he was asking about his fiance, right?
Yeah, a turn-based RPG for her.
What I would say, Kyle, I mean, help me, Kyle, on this one, is that I can't think of a lot of, like, easy games like Costume Quest that are very approachable. Yeah. But I would have actually said, if you don't mind, if your fiance doesn't mind waiting, Ni No Kuni is, like, designed to be a very approachable, very simple, cute, Japanese RPG. It's not necessarily turn-based. It has sort of an action-oriented system, but it should be very easy to get into.
Here's one
I would actually recommend that one.
Here's one I want to float.
Okay.
Not a turn-based RPG, I know.
Okay.
But in the similar sense of humor, easy accessibility, Deathspank. I know we all have mixed. Maybe. I know Colin's not a Deathspank fan.
Yeah, I don't really think those games.
But
are
it's a total. It's like I'm gonna run out. And I'm gonna kill these things. And I'm gonna bring back your things.
I mean, that game's hard. I mean, like that game gets really hard.
Maybe for pussies like you.
No, I mean that game.
Right.
That game
on vacation. That game we'll take it from here.
That game gets hard. You know, I'm surprised Clements didn't recommend Eternal Sonata.
I was, and then realized that that's the game I recommend to every single listener that writes in with questions.
But that's
for
like
me.
An accessible
hey, Ryan,
linear.
My dad touches good Eternal Sonata.
That's what were you about to say?
That's an accessible linear RPG.
Yes, Eternal Sonata, but it's not the cute story that Costume Quest is. Eternal Sonata has a very serious, very surreal, dramatic story. And if your fiance is down with that, absolutely. Great game on PS3. I hope people can still buy that. I haven't checked in a long time. Like where the price of that is. Yeah, I wonder what's that on Amazon.
I'm sure you can get it used or whatever if you really wanted to. I mean, that's when it's acceptable to get a game used to me. Is when you can't find it anywhere else anymore.
Yeah, that's... Oh, man, I should go back and play that again. That was so good. But I'm going to be playing Diablo for the rest of my goddamn life. So.
I remember my Xbox scratched the shit out of my copy of Eternal Sonata, and so I never...
Unicorn horn!
Unicorn horn! Unicorn horn!
It's like, oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond episode 240.
Woo!
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, that was fun.
We love you very much. This is a great show. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna put this one on the IGN blog roll.
There you go.
A lot of Last of Us information. A lot of good discussion on the most popular game here.
I'm gonna take it down immediately.
Damn it! Remember, if you want to be part of the podcast, beyond@IGN.com. Remember, Podcast Beyond at the moment posts every Thursday. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a rating there on iTunes if you like us. If you don't, get fucked and don't do anything. Remember that
I spit all over the table. That was too funny.
Podcast Beyond is fun and games, and we enjoy it quite a bit, but IGN.com pays the bills. Please go to IGN.com, watch our PlayStation conversations, read our articles, just have fun, make it your homepage, make it my IGN page, blog a bit, be part of the conversation, comment.
And if you do a really awesome blog, there's always a chance you could get featured on IGN.com for all the world to see.
It's very true. Yeah. It's very true, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Follow IGN on Twitter, @IGN. Follow me, @GameOverGreggy. Colin is No Taxation. Ryan is Pwom Cider. The ghost of Andrew Goldfarb is SF Soup Co. That's it for now. Clements and I will hopefully be back next Thursday. Yeah. Colin won't be. He'll be down in sunny Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's where he's going to be. Old New York. But by the way, I get in Monday. If anyone's going to be, any of my New York friends that listen to the podcast, going to be at the Yankee game on Monday night, I will be there. They're playing the Royals. Oh, I will be there right after I get the... yeah, probably not. Not for these Yankees. So I'll be there. If anyone's going to be there, it'll be fun.
Remember, Podcast Beyond always ends with a song submitted by a listener like yourself. Today's song comes from Keller. Keller writes in, Beyond. My friend DJ Cutman makes awesome
DJ Cutman.
Awesome chiptune dubstep mixes. And I was hoping
God, this sounds awesome.
Damon came over and was like, what is this? This is hot. And he was, you know, Damon, he likes music. And I was hoping you guys could play one at the end of the show. Attached is his song called Legends Never Die, Mega Man Legends 100,000 Strong Remix. You can find more of his work at www.djcutman.com. Thanks to Beyond. Well, Keller, thank you. It is a great song. We're going to play it right here on Beyond. End it. Beyond.
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 Listen up.
me beyond.
This is me eating some balls.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.